Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Lena Vista Baptist Church Sunday morning service. Going to do things a little different this morning. To start with, I'm going to ask David Mills to come up and give a word of testimony about how thankful and so on. So, David, will you come up, please?
Good morning. For those of y'all that don't know me, I'm David Mills. A lot of y'all that have been here a while might have noticed how when I pray, I always start off with, thank you, God, for your Son, Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to share with y'all a little bit why that is, because I didn't always used to do that. Back in 2008, I was diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia. I was in a situation where I felt alone, abandoned. I felt like, you know, God had abandoned me. But it wasn't God that had abandoned me. It was the world that had abandoned me. It took me a while to realize that, but that's what it was like. And so, you know, I was scared to leave the house alone. I didn't feel like doing much of anything. I was having delusions and hallucinations, of course. It took me a while to get used to taking my medication. But and, you know, one thing I didn't do was, and I should have done it in the first place, was go start going to church more often. But, and I did try, but the thing is I just couldn't, didn't seem to be able to find a church that I felt comfortable going to. And then about a couple of years later, I'd say this is about 2010, my mom and dad kind of started coaxing me to try out Lena Vista Baptist Church. So they brought me, you know, I think the first time we came, I think all we did was just come to the church service. And then I guess about a couple of weeks later, we just started coming into Sunday school class. And as time progressed, I started becoming more used to being part of the Sunday school class. And Ron Thigpen, who isn't with us today, but anyway, he saw some potential in me towards being a Sunday school teacher. So the next thing I know, another year later, I'm teaching Sunday school class. Amen. And of course, I'd also started being part of the choir and started, it took me a couple of years, but eventually I started being part of the loaves and fishes ministry also. So So really, when you think about it, none of this, you know, I feel like I'm in a position now where God wants me to be. Amen. So, you know, and without that, that would not have been possible without Jesus Christ. You know, he not just only died to save us from our sins, he also still keeps working in our lives. He's resurrected and he's working in our lives. And that's why I like to say at times, thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus Christ. And I thank you.
Let's continue this worship service by standing and singing hymn number 202, O Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Everybody, please stand.
O Hail the Power of
Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, everybody knows Sister Ellen. She's going to come up here and give a word of testimony.
Y'all saw that, right? Sit down, he said.
My bad.
There's a theme here today, and it's not about us. It's about Jesus. And so David, he's here today. I'm thankful. My mom and dad took me to church at an early age. I was saved in the Methodist church as a child. I had three brothers and one sister that was all older than me. And so my sister was 15 when I was born. And she didn't like me much when I came along because she was the only girl. But my daddy was a song leader in the church. And we had a piano player. His name was, I can't tell you. He was old, really old, I thought, at that time. And he would go north every year. And then there was no music. So my daddy said that I need to take piano lessons. And that's what I did. Jesus was involved. So he led the singing at church, and I learned to play the piano. And back in the day, y'all will probably remember that there were convention singings on Sunday afternoon, and this is really loud right here. So on Sunday afternoon after church, we'd go to different churches for convention singing, new books every quarter. And we'd sing, and I'd play, and there'd be other piano players, and that went on. But that's where I met my Charles. He had already been to music school. He was leading the music in his church. Now, remember, I'm a Methodist, okay? I grew up Methodist. He was a Baptist. And his daddy thought that never the twain should meet, you know what I mean? Because I just wasn't right if I wasn't a Baptist. But anyway, so we met. We dated. Sometime later, we got married, 1969. He was finishing up his education at what is now University of Central Florida. Back then, it was brand new school, and he was in the first class. I got a job in a bank only because he asked the lady at the bank when we were opening our account if they had an opening that I needed a job, because I was too bashful to speak to people I didn't know. I've outgrown that, by the way. But I'm thankful that God was in this all along. I just didn't know it at the time. There was a little Baptist church in the community where we lived, and I'm grateful that the pastor came to see us and invited us to church. And also, they were looking for a music man and a piano player. Jesus, again. So that's where we started our ministry. And I call it that because that's what it is and was. So we were there for 3 years. He graduated, and we moved back to Polk County. And we, and at that point, was he went to work for First Missionary Baptist Church in Lake Wales, where he was a teacher and led the choir. And then after that, we came back to Auburndale, built a house, had some babies. We're in several churches here three times, I think, now. The last time it's been three times we've been here as the music folks. Eastside Baptist, First Missionary, that was our home church. When we weren't serving, we were resting, First Missionary back in the day. And we shared some time at First Polk. And so I'm grateful that God has led us all this time. He gave us three beautiful children who love to sing, can play instruments. Not me, it came Brother Daddy. And I'm thankful that they know the Lord. They were baptized here, saved here in this church, and baptized here. So I'm thankful that through this time that God has led us to where we're supposed to be. And God is faithful, and if you'll trust him, he'll lead you where you're supposed to go, and that's what he did in our lives. So a scripture that I found, Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and the future." And he did that, is still doing that in our lives. Thank you.
Well, I want to add my thank you. I appreciate y'all being here today, and this is a different kind of service. I'm of the very strong conviction that Thanksgiving should be a lifestyle, not a holiday. And of all the people on the planet, we have that opportunity as a church to be reminded and to remind others that there are plenty of things for us to be thankful for. And one of those things for me this morning is that I don't have to preach for just a little while. So it's all good, and I'm thankful to those who are going to stand up and speak today and to sing as well. Welcome this morning. Thank you so much for spending some time with us here at Lena Vista Baptist Church. If you are a visitor with us for the first time or for the first time in a very long time, please feel free to fill out this connection card. We'd love to have that information there. Others of you who are here, if you have prayer requests, also put that on the back. By the way, you don't need to fill this out just for the sake of filling it out. Okay, if you have a prayer request or you're visiting with us, we would love to know that, have an opportunity to pray for you. A couple of orders of business really quickly. At the back door at the tables as you leave today, hopefully there'll be a couple people back there. We have a copy of the proposed budget. We would like for you to take one of those home with you and look over that. Linda just reminded me, if you have questions about the figures on that budget, please feel free to call the office. And we are going in several weeks now, then we're going to vote to make that budget as it should be. I also like to mention to you, if you are visiting with us today, we have bathrooms, and they are apart from this building, some in the fellowship hall over there and some in our educational building over here. We have a little bit of an issue with this one right behind the stage here, so we're going to ask you to use one or the other should you need a bathroom. So I want to just encourage you and thank you once again for being with us today. I pray that the Lord will just speak up close and personal to you and that you'll have a wonderful time here today. Larry, hang on just 1 minute. It's all you, dear.
I just wanted to say, I was going to say last week, I am thankful. It fits in here really well. I am thankful for all those folks who did Christmas boxes to send away. We had 61 that we took off on Monday. And I just thank you all. And I also want to thank the ladies that helped me decorate in the fellowship hall. Thank you very much.
Let's go to word and prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for each and every one here today, Lord, brothers and sisters in Christ. The opportunity we have to be here, Lord. Oh, there's many places I could be, Lord. But Lord, I chose to be here to worship you. Lord, you have worked in all our lives tremendously, Lord. I know you have mine, and I thank you for that. Be with Brother Kenny today. He gives the message. Lord, and also be with our armed forces, all of them, Lord, that serve in the military, all branches, Lord. Keep them out of harm's way as best as possible. And, Lord, again, this Thursday, Lord, there'll be many families sitting around a table. Lord, loved ones, Lord. And I hope that meal will mean something to them. Then we'll give thanks to the good Lord. Because, Lord, it's all about him, what he has blessed us with. And bless us with good church family, Lord. We all may not have the same ideas or agree. We're allowed to disagree. But, Lord, we're a church family. We love one another and encourage each other. Lord, and I thank you for this day, Lord, another day in your hour, Lord, in your house. Lord, I just thank you for everyone here today, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Let's turn to hymn number 141, The Old Rugged Cross.
Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for allowing us to be here, Lord. It is a pleasure to be in your house, Lord, brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, Lord, we give back to you a portion of what you bless us with. Be with Brother Kenny, Lord, as he gives a message today. And, Lord, just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'd like to say a little something before I sing my song. I got a little testimony I'd like to share with everybody. Go back a few years, right, Pat? A couple of years. When Pat and I got together a couple of years ago, we was looking for a church. I was lost as a ghost. I was lost. And Pat said, well, there's a church called Lena Vista Baptist. I've been going ever since you were youngin'. Can't remember when. And so we came here, and I've been coming here ever since. And I got saved here at this church. We went to a Dave Reaper concert in Auburndale, the church did. And he got through talking. He was a Vietnam vet. And he was talking to all of us, and he said, you guys come forward. And we went forward, and we accepted Christ. But it still didn't click. Still didn't click. And I run a pest control route. It's up for sale, hopefully. But anyway, I was in Lakeland. And I do remember Nancy Morgan, Billy Morgan's mama, bless her heart. She was teaching a Sunday school class and said, pick a verse, pick one verse and remember that and put that in your heart. I did. Romans 10:13. Who shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He didn't say go out here and do a bunch of good stuff. He didn't say go out here and get a bunch of money. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will be saved. And I stay on that verse. I stand on that verse. And you ever have times where Satan wants to accuse you of your past? You ever have times when Satan wants to put you down and say, you don't do enough, you're not worthy? Well, just tell Satan to get out of your face. Get you a scripture. And Romans 10:13 is a good one for me. Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I am a child of the King. I am a child of the King. And I stand on that. And I'm standing now. I'm in pain, but God's keeping me going, my back. But he's keeping me standing here. And I'm going to testify for my Jesus. I don't brag on me. Like Ellen said, it's all about Jesus. And I thank him. It's like I told Kenny this morning. Where do you start? There's so many blessings. And I know you guys have stories. There's so many blessings. But let's give Jesus the praise and glory he deserves. He paid that price on that cross. You know why I'm going to heaven? Not for what I've done. Is for what he did. When God looks at me, he's going to see his son Jesus. Jesus went to the cross. His blood passed away all my sins. He covered them all. He paid the price on that cross that I should have paid. Jesus did that. It's all about Jesus. I love you, Jesus. And I thank you for all the things he's done. I thank you for my wife. I thank you for my pastor, Kenny and Diane. My choir director, Mark and Sandra. I thank you for this church. I thank you, Lord, for the church family that I have, the sound people up there, Martha and Stan and Billy and Paul, There's so many. I could stand here all day long and talk how many blessings we do have. And we do have a bunch of blessings. And if you think about it this afternoon or this evening, give God the praise and glory. Just take that little quiet time and say, thank you, Lord. And like David said, thank you, Jesus, because without him, we'd be eternally lost. The song I'm going to sing is called Thank You for Giving to the Lord. If you've ever served God in any way, whether it be prayer or warrior or whatever it is, this song goes out to you too. It's for each and every one of you, okay? And think about this tonight when we leave church services this afternoon and we go home. Think about it. God has done everything. We owe him all. He is worthy. He is worthy. I dreamed I went to heaven and you were there with me. We walked upon the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. Heard the angels singing, someone called your name. We turned and saw this young man. He was smiling as he came. And he said, friend, you may not know me now. Then he said, but wait. You used to teach my Sunday school. I was only 8. And every week you'd say the prayer before the class would start. Listen, one day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart. Thank you for giving to the Lord. For I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. Another man stood before you, said, remember the time. A missionary, he came to your church now. His pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Listen, Jesus took the gift he gave. That's why I'm here today. Thank you for giving to the Lord. For I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. They came, far as the eye could see. Each life somehow touched by your generosity. The little things you had done, no sacrifice is made. Unnoticed on the earth, but in heaven they're now proclaimed. I know up in heaven you're not supposed to cry. I am almost sure there were teardrops in your eyes as Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord. He said, my child, look around you, for great is your reward. Thank you for giving to the Lord. For I am a life that was changed. Listen to me.
Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you came.
Listen to me, Lena. Listen, listen.
Let's all stand and continue our worship service by singing hymn number 484, Higher Ground, 484. Let's all stand. This morning, thank you. You may be seated. At this time, Sister Roxy is going to come up here and give her testimony.
Thank you. It's like Randy says, there are so many things to be thankful for. How do you pick just one? Really, but we've covered quite a bit today. I'd like to just give you a little bit of a testimony of what I'm thankful for. Let me tell you beforehand, I'm thankful for affliction. That might sound a little bit odd, but again, Jesus comes into play here because without affliction, we might not learn the lessons we all need to learn. My childhood was very nice. That's all I can say. It was a perfect childhood, and so I didn't have any affliction. Which I would call affliction, except, you know, paddling quite a bit. I was a first child and quite aggressive, I guess you'd say. But I like to push the boundaries. Anyway, my story about affliction came later on. When I was about 28, my husband and I went to Africa. I had one child and went to Africa, and we weren't going as missionaries. So we got there, and we knew that we needed to take 1 year of language study. It helps to be able to understand what people are saying to you. So I knew that the missionaries had said, your language interpreter is going to be coming to your house tomorrow morning. This was a Monday. I said, okay. And I was just newly out of nursing school about 2 years earlier. So we're out of nursing school, and I understood a little bit about disease. So when this lady, I saw her walking down our path towards our house, and she comes, and she has no fingers and no toes, and she's walking like this. And I thought, well, I hope what they told me about leprosy is true and that you can't catch it. So I was just praying, please, let that be true. So she came to my house, and she didn't speak any English. So it took us a good time to be able to say, what's your name, and learn little phrases like that to be able to talk. Finally, one day, and she was very faithful, her name was Belenae, and I heard her say, she said, I'm thankful for leprosy. I thought, I don't quite have the language yet. She said something that just doesn't sync with me. So she said, I'm thankful for leprosy. And I said, did you say you're thankful for leprosy? I don't understand. She said, yes. So she went on to talk in the Liberian language, and I didn't understand a whole lot of that. As the year went by, I did understand it, and indeed, that's what she was thankful for. And I hadn't known anyone with such an affliction before. Whether when I was growing up, I didn't notice people, but it had come to me then that she has leprosy. She comes to me every day and teaches me a language, and she says she's thankful for leprosy. Well, her story eventually went something like this. She said, Missy, when I was 15-year-old, I was a beautiful woman, beautiful, beautiful woman. And she said, nothing was wrong in my life. The missionary came to a town, and the missionary said, you need Jesus. You need Jesus. I think to myself, why do I need Jesus? I'm happy. I'm 15. I'm beautiful. And now the chief want me to be his wife? Don't think I need Jesus. No time for that. So she said that time went on. It was now coming time for me to marry the big chief, and I had to take blood tests. So when they take blood tests, I have leprosy. Well, the chief, not going to marry somebody with leprosy, no matter how beautiful I am, I'm not going to be beautiful for a long time. So the chief said, nope, not marrying that girl. Send her to the leprosy colony. So she said, Missy, I had to go to leprosy colony. I didn't know anybody there. I don't have no friend, nothing. But you know who came? The missionary came. The missionary said, look, Belenae, you need Jesus. You need to have Jesus. And I said, no, I'm okay. I don't need Jesus. But they come 3 times. And the third time, I say, well, maybe I'm not too happy now. I was happy before, but I'm not too happy now. Maybe I need Jesus. So, Missy, I asked Jesus to come into my heart. And now I was happy. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened, but I was happy then. And I could think about Jesus. I could think about God. I could think about leprosy. And they come to me, you know, I'm thankful. I'm so thankful for the leprosy. If I didn't have leprosy, I wouldn't know Jesus. I would just be the chief wife, and I would never know Jesus. So she said, Missy, that's why I'm saying I'm thankful for leprosy. So after she told me that story, I thought, well, that's quite a testimony to be able to say that. I wonder if that, and she said, this will come to your life. I said, well, I don't know. I hope this doesn't come to my life. But she was thinking about different other afflictions that would come to my life. You know, when we have afflictions, they can be different kinds. They can be physical. It can be sickness. It can be headache. It can be cancer. It can be anything physical that God brings in your life. Or you can have mental affliction where you're just in anguish. Where am I going to get my next meal? Where am I going to get anything that God provides for me? Or it can be emotional. Maybe you have grief. Maybe you have anxiety about things that come into your life. But it's all affliction that David in the Bible talks about, and different other authors in the Bible talk about affliction, of how God brings us to himself. You know, if we didn't have affliction, we wouldn't learn to lean on the Lord. There's a little song that goes something like, my life is but a weaving between my Lord and me. I don't know the colors. He works steadily. Sometimes in my pride, I don't know what it is, but I forget that he sees the upper side and I see the underside. I try to think about that when affliction comes, and I've had my part of affliction now since then. And sometimes it takes me earlier in my life, it took me a little bit longer to get ready to accept that God is the one that brought this to me. Now, it might take me a day or two before I recognize, I'm not handling this very well. I better thank God that he's good and that he's brought this to me. And so you say to yourself, make me willing to accept things. Make me willing to be thankful for tears. And make me willing to be thankful for whatever God brought me, because I want to be a vessel that is that can be used by him. Now, as I look at all of you, I know that none of you have a perfect life. And so you have come across affliction in your life, and I hope that you're not using it to have bitterness and anger and those kind of things, but that you come to the point where you say, I thank God for my specific affliction. If it wasn't specific for me, it wouldn't help me to praise the Lord for it and to bring glory to him. That's the main purpose of them all. And when you say you want to bring glory to God, it means to show to the world what God is like. And we can do that because of affliction. When David, I want to read a few verses in Psalm 119. He says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. David had affliction in his life. He caused a lot of his own trouble. But other than that, he had enemies that were chasing him all the time. But when I say I thank God for affliction, that's what I mean. God chooses us specifically. He gives us the specific affliction that we need to bring us to God and to praise him for the goodness that he gives to us every day. Thank you.
I want to thank those of you who spoke and sang this morning. I was thinking last week, how could we do something a little bit out of the ordinary for Thanksgiving? And like I mentioned to you earlier, I'm a firm believer that Thanksgiving should be a lifestyle, not just a holiday. And I believe that, you know, every one of you has a story. Every one of you has things that you could look up and be thankful for. For some of you, it's life itself. Maybe you've been diagnosed and you didn't think you was going to be here today, but you are here today. And it's interesting, Roxy, that you told the story about the lady with leprosy, because that's exactly where I'm going from the scripture this morning. So if you have a Bible with you, I'm going to ask you to turn to the Gospel of Luke chapter 17. It's also my conviction that we all have a ministry and we have something to say. And given the opportunity, it means a lot. I love this church family, probably more than you know. And I want to give every opportunity for those who want that opportunity to speak up. So my heart is very grateful today for those of you who have been involved so far already. Look at Luke chapter 17, verses 12 through 19. It'll be somewhat of a familiar story. Let's start with verse 11, actually. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were leprous, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, They were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Would you pray with me, Father? Thank you so much for the privilege that we have to gather here corporately, Lord, and to worship you, to sing great songs of the faith, to fellowship one with the other, to hear very real and very meaningful and very life-altering testimonies about your goodness and your kindness. And Lord, that you love us irregardless of our experiences. And Father, that we can learn from you if we are willing to pay attention. And Lord, I just am so grateful that you allow us this corporate opportunity to worship together, Father, here as your family, Lord, as the family of God at Lena Vista Baptist Church. What a privilege it is, Lord. And we don't ever want to forget that. We have so incredibly much to be thankful for, things that we've not even mentioned today, things that we might run over in our mind. And Lord, it is a wonderful reminder that even in affliction, sometimes, Lord, we need to find ways to be thankful because it does open our eyes to how good you've been to us and that everything has a purpose and everything has a reason. So, Father, as we gather in this time with families this week, Lord, as we celebrate that holiday that we call Thanksgiving, Lord, it's my prayer that on an everyday basis we would wake up and find something meaningful and something to be thankful about. Lord, as we mention this scripture today, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to all of us up close and personal, and that we would be reminded of how much we are loved. And for that, Lord, we are all extremely grateful. In Jesus' name, amen. This scripture is pretty clear and pretty plain. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and he chose to go the way that he went. He chose to pass through Samaria and Galilee. While he was passing through there, entering into that certain village, and we're not given the name of the village, it wasn't important, obviously, Jesus was met by 10 lepers, and all 10 were men. And the Bible tells us that they stood afar off. Now, according to the law in Leviticus chapter 13, verses 45 and 46, a leper was not allowed to dwell in the city. The law demanded that at least some with this disease would be isolated from the rest of the people. And by the time you got to Jesus' time, the religious leadership wanted absolutely nothing to do with lepers. Most of the common people who were not involved in anything religious or anything leadership-wise did not want anything to do with lepers. They were, for every sense of the word, isolated. And as you mentioned a minute ago, Roxy, they did live in colonies. They were separated from the rest of the people, and it was a miserable life at best. They began to cry out to Jesus in verse 13, and they were very specific with their request. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. I've never had leprosy. I don't have any idea what that must look like or what that must feel like or how it would make you feel as a human being. But these men at some point in time had the understanding that it was worthy and it was proper for them to cry out to Jesus. They called him Master, and they asked for mercy. Underneath all of that, I'm sure that they were asking for healing of this terrible, dreaded disease. They were wanting to be made well. And what Jesus did and said, I find it amazing. Verse 14 doesn't sound like much in the beginning. And when he saw them, Jesus took a good look at them when many people would look away because they were hard to look at. We need to be reminded on a regular basis, folks, that no matter what walk of life we come from, no matter what side of the tracks we were born on, no matter what our life looks like right now today, Jesus still gives us an up-close and personal look. And it matters. It indicates that he does love us and he is concerned about us. He cares about us. It was in the testimonies this morning. It's really all about Jesus. These men somehow, and I wish I could tell you, I don't know how they knew. Maybe word had gotten around that Jesus was doing some marvelous work. Irregardless, they knew who he was. And the beauty of this passage of scripture is he saw them for who they were. It wasn't just a casual look. He paid attention, and that's very, very valuable, I do believe. And then he did something different. He actually spoke to them. Excuse me. Not only were they seen, but they were addressed. But he said something very interesting. Verse 14, go show yourselves, excuse me, unto the priests. That sounds a little weird, doesn't it? They cry out for mercy. He says to them, go show yourself to the priests. Well, that's one place they have never been able to go. And why is that? Because they were diseased. They were kept isolated. They could not have that privilege. They did not have that option. So he sees them and he speaks to them. When Jesus told the men to visit the priests, he was instructing them to go and get what they would have understood as a certificate of release, which would indicate to all of those who saw that they were free of disease. You go back and read in Deuteronomy chapter 24 and even in Matthew chapter 8, verse 4. He was telling them, you should go, you need to go and see the priests. I believe that they would understand what that actually meant, because unless they were going to be healed, they would have no reason at all to go. So they went. And notice what the scripture says. I absolutely love this. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. As they went, as they followed his instructions to the letter, they were cleansed. He did not heal them on the spot. He did not heal them at a distant spot. He healed them as they went. That speaks volumes to me. God can do his best work in your life when you're doing it his way. Does that make sense? You know, he gives us clear instructions about his expectations for you and I in this word. And as his children, it's clear to you and I, if we read this, and the more we read this, the more we understand this, that we're not left to our own devices. We're not hung out to dry, so to speak. Jesus gives us very detailed instructions. And as they moved, following his orders for them, as they went, they were healed. In my mind's eye, I don't know what that would have been like. Leprosy is a horrible skin disease that continues to eat at you until you are consumed. We're not told at what level these folks were at with their leprosy, if it was new to some of them, if it was a long-time issue that they had lived most of their life with this. They could literally be rotting away. But as they went, something magnificent happened. They were healed. I think of Naaman. You know, go down and dip yourself in the river 7 times. And if you remember the story, he pitched a fit about having to go in that nasty old Jordan River. Why can't I just go back to where I live? We got cleaner rivers. We got better places. And finally, it took a servant to get his attention and say, if he'd asked you to do something great, you'd have done it in a heartbeat. But how uncomplicated could this be? Get over yourself, is what the servant said. Just go down there and dip in the river. What's so difficult about that? And the story is magnificent because he goes, and he wasn't clean on the 5th time, and he wasn't clean on the 6th time. He was clean on the 7th time, and that's what Jesus had said to him. And when we follow the instructions that the Lord lays out for us, magnificent things can happen here. You know, so the scripture goes on here, and this is kind of the heart of where I want to go with all this. I wanted to tell you the story that all 10 of these lepers on their way to see the priest were healed. And then you get down to verse 15, and one of them, okay, one of them, wow, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. One of them returned. One of them praised God with a loud voice. One of them fell on his face at Jesus' feet. And one of them said thank you. Why is that a big deal? Because this guy was a Samaritan. You know, why was there a Samaritan with 9 Jews? They don't like each other, okay? They're like Florida State fans. They just don't like each other, okay? I'll just get personal here for a minute. I still love you, Linda. Okay, just make sure we get that out in the open here. I even love Mark, and he's a Georgia fan. Yeah. He doesn't stop preaching and going to meddling now. I got it. Okay, I'm over it. Out of 10 of them, one of them said thanks. Does that sound anything at all to you like the world that we live in today? If you give me what I want, when I want it, and how I want it, I might have the decency to look at you and give you a nod. I might say thank you. If you let me out in traffic, I might raise my hand to acknowledge the fact that, you know, there's 40 cars in the line here and you're the nice person and you let me out. I'm talking about my problems now. I need to shut up. I'm sure there's a couple of you out there that might bother you as well, you know. How hard is this? You know what I'm saying? Okay. So why is this such a big deal? The Jews, the one Samaritan is with 9 Jews. They hated each other. They avoided each other. Most Jews would never travel through Samaria. They just absolutely did not get along. There was no reason that they would ever do that. That would go the long way to keep from going through Samaria. And I'm reminded in the real world where I'm at today and where I will be Thursday, I'm going to go 417 around Orlando instead of going downtown through Orlando on I-4. I would avoid that place like it's Samaria for whatever reason. Okay, yeah, it's going to cost me some money. Who cares? It's not downtown Orlando. That kind of gives you the feeling here. Jews hated Samaritans. Samaritans hated Jews. Why in the world was there one guy hanging out with 9 Jews? Because leprosy put them all in the same basket. Okay? Leprosy made their misery a common denominator, and they joined together in a community of pain and sorrow and woe. And if you had leprosy, it didn't matter what side of the tracks you were from. It didn't matter if you were a Samaritan or a Jew, because you dealt with the same tragedy, the same physical tragedy. So this one Samaritan was among the 9 Jews that were there. And of all those who had been healed, the one knowing the least bit about Jesus was the one who returned to give thanks. You know, the reality is that sometimes the most religious people are not always the ones who see life's graces or think to say thank you at all. The ones who should have known who Jesus was more so than anybody else on the planet were the ones that made sure that they got the Roman government involved in order to crucify Jesus, who was absolutely sinless. Church, here's where my heart is. We should be and have every reason to to be the most thankful people walking this earth. There is absolutely no excuse otherwise. None. Oh, you mean I'm supposed to be thankful that I have to hobble around and I don't walk well? Yeah, you're still walking, right? So be thankful. My dad used to say, son, listen, you don't like what you see here at the house? Take yourself a little walk. Go down Kim Street and start knocking on doors and start talking to people, and you won't get out of sight until you're very happy to be living here after you talk to some folks that you have no idea what kind of burden they carry. As a 10-year-old, that didn't strike much in my heart, and I didn't do it. But he made a lot of sense, and the older I got, the more sense it made. My life verse is Romans 8:28. God works all things together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. All things? God works all things together for good? Really? I'm supposed to be thankful for the flu? I'm supposed to be thankful when I wreck my car? I'm supposed to be thankful when my bank account is empty? Does that fall under all things? Did not James say, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations because the working of your faith brings about, we use the word patience, a better translation is endurance. Some of the things that you and I have to go through are like Roxy said, thank you for that testimony, by the way. Yeah, affliction, you know, affliction can drive us toward God or it can drive us away from God, and the choice is ours. Lady in our Sunday school class used to say, conflict either makes you bitter or better, and the choice is yours. You know, we get to choose. And I'm going to suggest to you today that we choose to remain thankful. If we haven't been there or don't go there very often, I'm going to say to you today, let's go there. Let's choose to be thankful. One of them came back. One of them fell down on his face. One of them gave thanks, and it was the guy who should have known the least of all about who Jesus was and what he was doing. And then the questions that Jesus asked is a tremendous indicting question. He said, were there not 10 cleansed? So where's the other 9? Do you realize, folks, that he's simply saying that 90% are basically ungrateful? Those words read so much as that Jesus was disappointed and saddened by the response of his goodness. And as I stop and think about it a little bit, I believe that our whole life, our attitude that we live this life with would be so much better and so much nicer and so much more fulfilling and motivating if, when things don't go the way we would like them to go, instead of asking why and how long, maybe a different question would be better. And that would be, Lord, what do you want me to learn while I'm here? Because, see, I believe that if we keep our hearts and our minds on the right track, that God does some of his very best work in the situations that we find ourselves in, whether they're self-inflicted or not. He does some of his best work in the areas when you and I have no more answers. This one guy decided simply, no, he wasn't wanting to be seen. He didn't care if anybody else came with him. He wasn't watching the other people's response. He wasn't learning from the other 9 who didn't care. He simply went back, and from his heart, he said to Jesus the things that I think maybe you and I need to say. We need to praise God for who God is in our lives. And all 4 of you said something about that. It's a God thing. It's a Jesus thing. Thankfulness starts in the heart. Thankfulness starts with reminding yourselves that Jesus didn't have to die for you, but he did. That you and I can be saved. We're not thrown out like so much trash. And that he loves us even when we are not grateful. This leper shows you and I something very, very special. Jesus said there weren't there 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? And then verse 18 is very clear. There are not found that return to give glory to God, save the stranger. Ooh, Do you suppose that it was only glory to God for healing him? Or was it glory to God because he is God? You know, praise is so important. We get to do that here corporately. Individually, it's also very, very important. And he said in verse 19, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Jesus' expression reveals kind of a note of sadness. You know, the nine Jewish lepers simply walked away, keeping their blessing and their healing to themselves. And the sad reality is, folks, that sometimes that's true today as well. So many of you have a Thanksgiving testimony, and it needs to be heard. I hope you're telling it to somebody. Someone out there needs to hear your story. They need to see why you live thankful and why you live like you live. I believe that for the most part, we live in a thankless world, overcome by a sense of entitlement, blind to the goodness and the greatness of God and the grace of God on their lives. And you're here today, my friends, by the grace of God. You are alive today by the grace of God. And we've been commanded to live thankful, and we will do very little that carries a greater impact, not only to a lost world, but also to our brothers and sisters who, for whatever reason, choose to live a life with the glass half empty. Celebrate life, my friends. Celebrate salvation. Celebrate your blessings. And yes, even your challenges and your difficult times, as we heard this morning, celebrate those. Being thankful carries a power that can heal and restore even the most broken spirits. Sadly, the percentage today isn't any better than the percentage of Jesus' day. Maybe 1 out of 10 might live thankful. You and I as the church have no reason to live any other way. So I hope you'll be the light and salt that you've been saved to be. I hope that you'll be thankful. I hope that people don't have to take a close look to realize that you've been forgiven and you know that you have, and that you choose to be thankful and to spread that around. Please tell your story. Please tell your story. You lived it. You can tell it best. Maybe you're here today and you've had a hard time with your life. Maybe things aren't going the way you want to. Maybe it's difficult for you to look up and be thankful about anything. I want to encourage you to try. I want to encourage you to start to understand that God will work everything together for good if you love him and that you called according to his purpose and you live for him. We're going to have an invitation here in just a minute. Maybe some of you just need to come down here and get at this, just kneel down here at this altar or come and sit on the edge of the stage and just thank God for being such an awesome God to you. This service today is designed for you and I to be reminded that we need to be thankful because we have every reason to be thankful. And if you're lost today, this will be the day that you could be more thankful than any other day you've ever lived on the planet. Would you give the Lord Jesus a chance to be your master? Stand with me as we pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the testimonies today. Thank you for the singing. Thank you for the privilege that we have to be the church, to enjoy a time together with one another, to love on each other. And God, we have so much to be thankful for. Help us not to get bogged down in what we don't understand. Help us not to give up the fight. Help us not to accuse you of not being God in our lives. Lord, if there's someone who needs to know you today, I pray that would happen right now, up close and personal. And I thank you for all you are. I thank you for all you do. I thank you for everything you've already done. I thank you for everything that you're going to be doing in our lives as the days come. We love you, God. We appreciate you, God. We celebrate you. We glorify you. We serve you because we can and we get to, and what a wonderful privilege it is. Just work in us, God, that we might be the light and the salt that you intended us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you come?
Hymn number 308. Thank you. Or lunch, depending on where you're from.
We got some folks over there that have been working diligently this morning, and we want to invite you to stick around for a Thanksgiving Sunday lunch together as the family of God. This is kind of our physical way of celebrating Thanksgiving, so to speak. Every one of you here, member or non, you are invited to come and enjoy this meal. And as Ms. Charlene is finishing up over here, Jeff, you'll bring that up, brother. This is Jeff Nicely. Y'all been seeing him around here, especially on Sunday nights. And I got to know Jeff quite a while ago, and he's become a friend. We enjoy a little food every now and then on Sunday nights and have some fellowship time together. And Jeff comes today with a desire to move his membership from Lake Hamilton Baptist Church to Lena Vista Baptist Church. So what is your pleasure? Anyone opposed? I don't know how you unclap, but surely there's no opposition. Brother Greg, I know Greg. I'm looking at him and calling him Greg. Brother Jeff, we are looking forward very much to you becoming more and more active here. He's coming by statement, and I'm excited about that. So let us be the church to you that we would want to be and that we can be. And we're going to love you and appreciate you. And do whatever we can to make sure that you are loving your church experience with us. So God bless you. I'm going to ask you if you go to the door back there and let these people love you as they go out to the meal. Come on, everybody. Hurts my heart to bring another Georgia fan in here.
Amen.
This is Wesley. I've been knowing him for a long time. He used to harass us when we were mowing Miss Grace yard. He'd come across and give us trouble, but that's okay. I still love him. He's moving his letter, or if we agree to that, and I'm not sure. No, I'm kidding. From First Baptist in Winter Haven, Brother Wesley's come to join us here at Lena Vista Baptist Church. He told me, he said, I need to get back home over here. So what is your pleasure, all in favor of receiving Brother Wesley as a member? Anybody can say no, you just got to behave yourself. Anybody opposed, like sign anywhere. Don't see no hands up. Nobody shooting rubber bands. You're good. Give us the privilege to be the church for you that we should be. And we love you, appreciate you. Thank you for making this choice. And now you are official card-toting member of Lena Vista Baptist Church. Wow, what a great day in the house.
Amen.
How about that? Now we're fixing to go eat. It's all good. Brother Rick asked me if we would, that go ahead, whoever dismisses us in prayer, would you please go ahead and ask a blessing over the food? That makes the transition from here to the biscuit a whole lot easier. So, well, Brother Mark, whenever you choose. I want to thank you all so much for being here this morning, and I hope and pray that this will be a Thanksgiving service that we can do maybe over and over and over. Live thankful. It's so much better. Brother Mark.
I just want to remind our choir for the cantata practice next Saturday at 10 o'clock. Let's all stand and be dismissed. Brother Randy, will you dismiss us, please?